One, two, three, four, one, two.
Hei og velkommen til nok en sending med I Grenseland, Radio Rakels utenriksmagasin, som gir deg verden hver tirsdag mellom 6 og 7 på FM 99,3. I studio I dag Heidi Takstad Skjeseth. Jeg får god hjelp av Fred, og vi ønsker dere alle en riktig god sommer. I dag skal vi snakke om Afrikas siste koloni, Vest-Sahara. Vi har fått besøk I studio av Jørn Sund Henriksen og Basiri Mulai fra Vest-Sahara. Velkommen.
Takk.
Vi skal snakke om Afrikas siste koloni, og det ikke alle som en gang har hørt om Afrikas siste koloni, eller vet hvor den ligger, eller hva det Jørn, kan du forklare litt bakgrund for konflikten?
Ja, Vest-Sahara var jo en spansk koloni frem til 1975, og da kaller vi det for spansk Sahara her I Norge. Og I likhet med veldig mange kolonier I Afrika, så oppstod det en frigjøringsbevegelse. Den heter da Polisario, og de slåss for å frigjøre landområdet sitt og befolkningen. FN ga også støtte til at de hadde rett på selvbestemmelse og være en egen nasjon. Men det som skjedde da, det var at Spania, når de trakk seg ut I 1975, så gjorde ikke det I overensstemmelse med de lokale. De lot Marokko og Mauritania forsyne seg av territoriet. Så de inviterte da fra hver sin kant og okkuperte omtrent hele landet. Det synes jo ikke Polisario var noe bra, så de startet jo væpnet motstand mot okkupasjon, og det ble en langvarig krig. Mauritania ble slått, så de måtte trekke seg ut og anerkjenne Polisario. Men Marokko har fortsatt krigen, og det krigen stoppet I 1991 på grunn av en fredsavtale som FN forhandlet fra. Og lovnaden da var at befolkningen skulle få lov til å bestemme sin skjebne selv gjennom en folkeavstemning, men til tross for at det har gått veldig mange år, så den folkeavstemningen enda ikke skjedd.
Det noe håp til at den folkeavstemningen vil komme?
Nei, det har vært lite bevegelse de siste årene. Det har vært sporadisk kontakt og forhandlinger uten at det har skjedd så veldig mye. Polisario har strukket seg veldig langt. De har til og med sagt at den marokkanske settlerbefolkningen som finnes I Vest-Sahara, som faktisk utgjør flertallet av befolkningen I Vest-Sahara nå, skal få lov til å delta I folkeavstemningen. Men selv det har Marokko sagt nei til. Og det jo en ganske spesiell situasjon for av den opprinnelige befolkningen I Vest-Sahara så bor faktisk flertallet nå I utlandet I flyktningeleire I ørken I Algeri, I de mest ugjestmilde forholdene som du kan finne. Og I deres tidligere hjemland så flertallet befolkningen tvangsinnflyttet marokkanere.
Så de presses ut av sitt eget land?
Absolutt. Og det jo nå generasjoner som har vokst opp I flyktningeleire og aldri sett noe enda.
You are from West Sahara, Basiri.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell us a little bit about how life is there? How was your life growing up in the last colony of Africa?
Yeah, thank you very much, first of all, for inviting me and at least to put some light on the darkness of this conflict, which is absolutely, obviously it's not well known here in Norway. So I myself coming from the refugee camps of Western Sahara as you mentioned already, I think you mentioned it because I didn't understand Norwegian. But in 1975, when Spain withdrew from the territory with the promise that a referendum on self-determination of the Sahrawi people would be taking place on the area, unfortunately that promise was not kept. However, Morocco and Mauritania invaded the area and many thousands of Sahrawis were forced to flee from their homes to the open desert, and they established 4 refugee camps on the southwest of Algeria, and that's the place where I was born and grown up. And it's just desert, we have only tents and sand houses. And my parents, they came walking us, just like the many Sahrawis, they came walking from their homeland to these refugee camps in the southwest of Algeria. So it's, as I said, it's 4 refugee camps, and it's just tents and sand houses, and that's the place where I was born and grown up. It's on the summer, it's around 55 degrees Celsius, which is really hot, and it's extremely hard to live there, to stay there. It's for children and old people. It's really hard to stay there during the summer. And during the winter, it's extremely cold during the nights. And, you know, we don't have heat. We don't have...
And you live in tents in the winter,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, we live in tents. We live in tents. So if it's windy, and it's always windy, the tents always destroyed. And if it's raining, the sand houses destroyed as well. So you might spend like 2 or 3 days without shelter, actually, because when it's raining, all the sand houses fall down and destroyed. And when it's windy, the tents destroyed as well. So it's really bad and hard conditions that we live there. But at least we are sure that we have the right on self-determination. The only thing that we need and we are demanding is just to decide our future. Just let us, I mean, the Moroccans, they are saying that we are American and that we are actually arrested by Polisario. And the Polisario is the representative body of all the Sahrawis, and it has been the only representative body of all the Sahrawis since 1973, actually, before Spain pulled out from the territory. And it has been doing a lot to these people. So they are saying that the Polisario is arresting, or Algeria is arresting these people on the southwest of Algeria. So just let us say that we are Americans. Let us speak our mind. That's the whole point, that Morocco is not letting us to decide our future. It's not letting us to do this referendum on self-determination. And in 1991, when the Polisario was resisting, actually, and against Morocco and Mauritania at the same time, which is really hard. But Mauritania, on 1978, withdrew from the territory and actually recognized this country and recognized Western Sahara as independent country. However, Morocco stayed in the area. And in 1991, the UN intervened and they said, "Well, they brought together the two partners of the conflict, and they signed this ceasefire agreement." So, and since that time, we don't live in peace and we don't live in war. So it's just in between.
There's not a violent conflict now. It's
what?
There's no violent conflict,
yeah, so
between Morocco.
Yeah, no,
and
no violent
West
conflict
Europe
at all, because the UN intervene, and they
said, why doesn't Morocco want to let you go? What is their main arguments?
Well, they don't have arguments, because it's, you know, we never been Moroccans. We don't have any like relationship or any ties with Morocco. So, and the International Court of Justice, on its statement, say that after sending a group of people to do these researches in on the territory, they came out with this statement that there is no, I mean, very strong ties between these people, the Sahrawi people, and the Moroccan people. So, which is, I mean, distinguish these people. We are Arab and Muslim, yes, but we don't speak the same language, except if we talk in the formal Arabic language, absolutely we can understand each other. But we have our own dialect, which is completely different from the Moroccan dialect. We have our own traditional, like the national custom, food, and this stuff. It's completely different from the Moroccan traditions, and it's more close to the Mauritanian traditions. So we do speak the same dialect as the Mauritanian. We do have the same traditions, but with Morocco we don't have that strong relations. So actually, and Morocco was occupied by France. We were occupied by Spain. So it's completely like two different countries.
Mm-hmm.
We were waiting for Morocco to help us to to build up our country after in 1975, but unfortunately they invaded the area and they did what they have done.
You got no help from Morocco.
Absolutely no.
And Basiri, we were talking about life in the refugee camps. You say you live in tents in the middle of the desert. It's biting cold in the winter and it's really hot in the summer. How do you survive? How do people work? Do they go to school? How do they eat and live?
Yeah, well, people there rely only on the humanitarian aid that's given to them by UN and some other different NGOs. So people are just, every month we get like this United Nations like the World Food Program and these different NGOs, they send the humanitarian aid, food, to the camps. So we distribute this food between the four camps, and we make sure that everyone got his right on.
How many people live in these camps?
Right now, it's more than 166,000 people. That's more or less how many people live there. And about education, we have an education system in the camps. It's like educating people from the first grade until the sixth grade, and then they have the choice to move to, Algeria mostly, Libya and Cuba sometimes. Well, Cuba is not sometimes, Algeria and...
So in sixth grade, you're about 12 years old?
Yeah.
And then you
family? My family when I was 11 years, I left to Algeria. I was asked if I want to go to Cuba or Algeria or Libya, so I've chosen Algeria.
Why did you choose Algeria?
Well, it's close to the camp, so I can see my family every summer. However, my cousins, they went to Cuba, and we didn't see them since like age. So it's quite difficult to be on that age. I mean, of 11 years and to go abroad from your family. You know, it's very hard to stay there just in order to get a good education to help these people back. So now I'm so happy that I'm here with you and telling you about this situation of these camps. So at least. I'm giving back to this family and to these people and to those people who sent me to study and to send me here to Norway to talk about this issue. At least I'm giving them something back. So it's really a great chance for me to talk about this issue and to raise the awareness among the Norwegians.
Because you want to tell the world how you live in West Sahara.
And
how do you see the future of your people?
Well, it's really hard in the camps because, you know, especially for young people, you know, like between the age of 19, 20, 20 now, 21, you wake up at the early morning and you have nothing to do. You look at the four sides in front of you and there is nothing except desert. It's really hard. And people, young people, they always like raising up the point of going back to the armed struggle, which is not really good, but it's one of the solutions that's still possible for these people because we have been waiting for more than 34 years, and I think it's enough. And the international community should do something to solve this problem. I mean, it's okay. 34 years in the middle of the desert, which we are okay with that. We have been living there, and it's okay. But now we want something. We want the change. We want,
it's enough.
Yeah, it's enough. Mm-hmm. It's enough. 34 years. It's enough. And you know, we need to do this referendum of self-determination. The International Court of Justice gave us three choices. I'm not sure between three or two, but it's either the integration with the occupied forces, which is Morocco, or the independent, the full independent, or the autonomy solution. So we just want to decide our future. And I think it's very, very simple right to decide what you want as a human being. Mm-hmm. Just to decide what you want. That's very basic. Thank you.
I Norge jobber også støttekomiteen for Vest-Sahara for to raise awareness, som du sier. Jørn, hvordan jobber dere?
Vi jobber med mye forskjellig, men først og fremst for å spre informasjon. Prøve å få saker om Vest-Sahara i media, men også for å få politikere til å engasjere seg i det her.
Er norske politikere engasjert i Vest-Sahara?
Ja, vi kan si at det er en del enkeltpolitikere som er det. Men ja, vi kan skryte litt av partiene også. Vi har folk som er engasjert i konflikten i alle partiene. Det har vi jo også alle ungdomspartiene støttet nå at Norge skal anerkjenne republikken og anerkjenne
Vest-Sahara. Så det er faktisk tverrpolitisk enighet i Norge om at Vest-Sahara skal...
Ja, det er det. Fra ytterste høyre til ytterste venstre så mener ungdomspolitikerne at det er en viktig sak. Og også flere enkeltpartier på Stortinget altså som Venstre og Senterpartiet. Og SV tror jeg også har sagt at de støtter republikken og en del lokallag i Arbeiderpartiet og sånn. Det skjer mye.
Hva må Norge gjøre da?
Norge burde jo anerkjenne republikken, men siden ingen andre land i Europa har gjort det, så er det sikkert et langsiktig mål. Men umiddelbart så burde Norge i alle fall si til verden at Marokkos er et forslag til løsning som er et slags autonomiløsning, at Vest-Sahara skal forbli marokkansk, men ha en form for selvstyre, at det ikke er den eneste løsningen. Så da burde han Gahr Støre si til Frankrike blant annet og Marokko at de burde få to valg å velge mellom. For som han Basiri sier, det er jo en ganske enkel rett at folk skal få lov til å bestemme sin egen fremtid.
Klar oppfordring til Jonas Gahr Støre der, fra Jørn Sund Henriksen i støttekomiteen for Vest-Sahara. Tusen takk for at du og Basiri Mulai kom i studio. Hyggelig.